I'm on the line right now with Amy Lowe, who is, of course, a volunteer and a programmer here at CKUT, but also a member of Accessibilize Montreal, which is a disability justice collective here in the city. Amy was in the news a couple weeks back when a bus driver, an STM bus driver, refused to lower their ramp for Amy, which led to an altercation, or the bus driver getting pretty aggressive. And sadly, another incident similar to that one happened again to Amy just last night in NDG. So we're going to be talking about that. But first, Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, take us back to last night. You were riding the 105 bus along Sherbrooke in NDG. Tell us the story, starting at the beginning, of what happened.
Sure. I take the shuttle from downtown to Loyola, and then I take the 105 for two stops. I had had a really nice evening, just to start off the story nicely. I had a really nice day. I was practicing music with some friends, so I was in a really nice mood, and I was waiting for the 105 at Loyola stop on Sherbrooke, and then the bus came, and the driver opened the door, and then I said in French, can you lower the bus for me? So yesterday I was using my cane, so I didn't have a walker, so I didn't actually need the ramp. I just needed him to lower it for me. And so he looked me up and down, took a long pause, and then said, you're not capable of doing the step. And then, I ignored him because that's ableist, and, I don't need to justify why I need an accessibility feature. If I need something, I say it politely, and I expect respect in return, and I expect drivers to do their job. And then so I just paused, and then he didn't do anything, so we were having this kind of like weird standoff, and I said, are you going to lower the bus, in English at this point? And then he said, are you going to say please in French? And I'm bilingual. I have no problem speaking French. However, when I'm threatened or if I'm in a stressful situation, I revert to my native language. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, are you going to lower this bus? And he finally did, and then I got on and I sat at the front because I was only going a few stops. And then once I was on, he started talking at me, saying, you know, you should have spoken French to me, and I responded by saying, look, it's in your directives to lower the bus for anyone who requests it. I took it as a chance to remind him of what he's supposed to do as a bus driver. And we went back and forth a bit, and then it came time to get off at my stop. And someone else actually on the bus who had seen this interaction, as he was getting off at my stop, he commented to the bus driver, look, you know, basically, it doesn't matter what language someone speaks. If they need an accessibility feature, then you should do that. And then the driver got aggressive with him, pointing his finger right in his face and being really verbally aggressive. And so that gentleman got off the bus, and then I asked for him to lower the bus, and he didn't. And then he was just kind of sitting there. And so I just took a seat to rest until he lowered the bus and I could get off. And I also at that point began recording this whole thing, audio recording, because I felt really threatened, and so it's good to have a backup. And then at that point, he actually didn't lower the bus. And, like, there was no one else on the bus at that point. It was late. And he closed the doors of the bus, and he said, you're not going anywhere. He got up from his seat, and he came and stood over me, you know, making comments about how I was impolite, and he told me this weird story about how he has children and he's teaching them how to have manners. Mm. And I was just like, I'm a grown woman, and I just asked you to do your job, and there's no reason to be so hostile to me. And I felt really unsafe, and then, and so we were having a really heated conversation, and then he was like, you know what, I don't have to take this, I'm going to call the police. And I thought to myself, are you serious? Like, you're going to call the police because I'm not complying with you? Because I'm not acting like a nice little handicapped girl who's going to sit and take whatever treatment I get? So I said, you know what, I'm being really threatened. I'm going to call the cops, and hopefully they will, you know, make the bus driver open the doors of the bus. Mm. It was just, like, outrageous. And so, and I also made a point to call 911 and speak really loudly so this driver knew that I was calling the cops and maybe, you know, check his behavior a little bit. So I was on the phone with the operator, and then she said, oh, my God, you're being held captive on a bus. Yeah, I'm going to send a cop car right away. So at that point, the driver opened the doors of the bus, I assume because he heard that interaction with the cops. So so he got off, and then at that point there was like another 105 that had pulled up in front to check out what was going on.
Another 105 bus?
Yeah. So I don't know if there were people on it or not, but the bus driver had gotten out, and he was standing outside of the closed door during our conversation. So I was, like, alone on this bus with this one male driver, and then there's another male driver outside the door, like, just kind of hanging out, getting his colleagues back, I suppose. And, I felt really threatened. So finally he opened the doors, and he got off and started chatting with his colleague, the other driver. And I thought, you know, I could get off and leave, or I could wait for the cops to show up and explain that this driver had treated me, had been violent towards me, right?
Mm.
So I waited for the cops, and then they showed up, and then I basically just had even a worse interaction with the police officers. They pushed me, like, they were violent towards me when I tried to tell them my story. No one took a record of what I had to say. The police, like, the SPVM only talked to the bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
They dismissed me. One driver literally pushed me, one police officer pushed me, another took my cell phone and turned it off, and told me that if I couldn't live in society, that I should go.
Wow.
I mean, they were verbally abusing me, right? I mean, I'm having a hard time even just digesting it right now because it was just last night.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually,
as I understand from your blog post, you were able to speak with an STM police officer. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. He took my report, and I just told him all the details like I told you. His job, I think, was to try and defuse the situation. And then he also made some unwarranted comments about how his mother is quote-unquote handicapped and just, like, really unnecessary information for the job that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he was just trying to present himself as supportive. He asked me for my personal information, and I was reluctant. And then he said, you know, if you file a complaint, we need your personal information. But he said that it would be confidential.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I called the FCM today, and they had already received all that, including my phone number and everything. So I don't know.
And is this, I mean, do you think they already had your information on file from the last incident that happened a couple weeks back?
Oh, yeah, probably.
And so then, I mean, the other pretty disturbing issue here is the fact that, you know, we're seeing now systemic patterns at the STM of discrimination against people with disabilities. So you mentioned that there's this directive that if someone asks for a bus to be lowered or for a ramp to be put down, the bus driver has to do that. It seems like, you know, that this isn't even an issue necessarily of individual drivers, although those individual bus drivers are problematic. It seems like the issue is more of a cultural problem within the STM and maybe society at large as well, to not actually, you know, meet the service demands or, you know, be the public service that is supposed to be for people of different abilities. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that in terms of, you know, that kind of that weird, I guess, disconnect that the STM has this directive, yet their bus drivers aren't following it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a short anecdote. On March 4th, some comrades and I from Accessible Eyes Montreal went to the STM board meeting to essentially raise questions and to make some noise and to remind them that to remind them about accessibility. And when I posed the question, because it's very vague, right? Like from what I can gather from my research, from what I've been told, there's no universal accessibility policy in the SCM, but they do have directives from the managers and the chef d'opération. So what I understand is that for wheelchair users, anyone who essentially uses a seated mobility device, drivers are obligated to lower the ramp. And for anyone who uses, say, a walker or a cane or crutches, that's up to the prerogative of the drivers. Okay, so there is, I guess there's a problem in two different ways. Like, one is this policy is very vague. No one is getting back to me about what their actual policy is. And then the second is, yeah, the culture of the SCM, the way that drivers view people with diverse mobility, with different accessibility needs. It's pretty deep in the culture of the STM to not want to provide access to people.
And so, I mean, what you mentioned that, you know, there was this action where Accessible Eyes Montreal went to the STM board meeting on March the 4th to confront the managers, the board of directors, essentially at the STM about this. It's clear now that, you know, yourself and other disability justice activists here in Montreal are kind of ramping up this fight. No pun intended there, but increasing this fight around accessibility for our public transportation. And what do you think needs to happen at this point in terms of actually ensuring that anyone who needs a ramp or needs a bus to be lowered, whether they're in a wheelchair or not, they can have that happen?
Yeah. Well, simply put, a complete cultural revolution, Aaron.
Okay.
That's essentially what I'm talking about. But no, seriously, we need to increase the intensity of our protest and of our awareness raising. I had that moment last night when I got home finally, and I was it was like midnight and I hadn't had dinner and I was feeling really upset. And I thought, what are we going to do? Because this happens every day and it's by no means just something that happens to me, right? Like, I mean, tens of thousands of Montrealers experience this daily. What the hell are we going to do? And I think that what we need to do is that we need everyone to get on board. And we need to say, you know, during the spring, you know, we have the Printemps 2015, like this big spring uprising planned. Mm. I need accessibility to be a big part of that discussion, of that movement. Because right now it's sparse actions and it's people who are passionate but tired and who need support for this movement. And it can't only, like, pushing for accessibility, it can't only rest on the backs of people already being trampled on by the STM, by the city, you know? Like, we need to do this together. And so the only way that this level of abuse and discrimination will stop is if everybody, you know, old folks, parents with strollers, you know, people who experience sexism, racism, all sorts of abuse at the hands of the STM, we all need to come together and say, look, this is enough, and we need to change this. So that's what I would say. I mean, I invite anyone and everyone to get in touch by various means. I mean, you can get in touch with me on Twitter, or you can get in touch with Accessibilize Montreal. The email address is access4MTL, like the number 4MTL. And I don't know, I just feel like we need way more people to speak out. And likewise, when these experiences happen, we also need standers by or whatever, people who are observing this, to also say, hey, that's not okay. You know, like when you see a bus driver, you know, start a bus before an older person is sitting down and they're clearly struggling, we need someone to say, hello, can you wait until this person is seated? Or we need people to speak out against the lack of elevators in the metro and the game of political ping pong that CM is playing with the city in terms of elevators. Like, we just need more people on board. So that's my long answer, just to say that we need more support. We need everybody to speak out about this.
And lastly, I mean, I know, like, this incident is so fresh. As you said, you're still kind of digesting it. But what are your next plans in terms of, you know, your plan of action to deal with this?
Well, as you mentioned, on the 25th of February, when I was refused access, ramp access, and that was sort of my first altercation recently, I was in a lot of different state and corporate media outlets. For some reason, the story really took off, and so that was one approach, you know, speaking out in the media, and you guys are always great. CKUT is always great about having me on as well. It hasn't seemed to make a difference with the STM board. Nobody's really contacted me. Nothing's happened in that regard. So I'm going to take other approaches. You know, I'm actually on Sunday, I'm sitting down with some people who are human rights experts. We're going to write a human rights complaint. I have a meeting with a lawyer, so I'm looking into a civil suit. Just kind of trying to attack it from all angles. And then, of course, we have a lot of direct actions planned for the spring and summer with Accessibilize as well.
All right.
So, yeah.
So, again, we've been speaking with Amy Lowe, who's a member of Accessibilize Montreal, which is a disability justice group here in the city, about an incident that happened at the STM on a bus last night in NDG. Lastly, can you just repeat the contact info where people can get more information if they want to support Accessibilize Montreal?
Yeah, sure. I would say three ways. The first is our email address, access4mtl@gmail.com. That's access4mtl@gmail.com. And then Facebook. We're on Facebook as well. Same name, Access for MTL. And finally, you can actually just, you know, join me on, or find me on Twitter as well. I'm happy to talk with anybody on that medium. My Twitter name is AIMEELOUW1 on Twitter. So great. Any of those ways. And yeah, looking forward to more actions and meeting more people through this. So.
All right. Again, Amy Lowe of Accessiblize Montreal, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks a lot, Aaron. We'll talk to you soon.